It's Cape Cod's Rock Pixie 103, Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, and Suzanne Tenner here on a Saturday afternoon, hanging out with Tom Hamilton from Aerosmith. Welcome back.
Hey, it's the beginning of the summer.
It's great to have you here. You know, the band's been touring together for 40 years, of course. First of all, I want to... maybe just together for 40 years.
But not that long.
Maybe, it's not 40 years?
39 and a half.
Okay. So how are you doing?
Great. Just did the Comcast thing the other night. That was our third gig.
I know. You started out this tour, this summer tour, with what, Cheap Trick and Three Doors Down, I heard? No,
Three Doors Down and oh my God, Mental Block. Who played in St. Louis? I don't know. Let's come back to that. ZZ Top is starting at the next gig, which is in Virginia.
Tomorrow night. I really want to thank you for taking the time out to stop by the Pixie Studios. And
sure.
On Father's Day weekend, too, you brought Jay and your beautiful wife, Terry, with you, too. You guys should be out going to the beach or something. You got to say hi to your daughter before we forget.
Okay.
Just get the text there.
Sage, Sarah, and Rebecca. How you doing? I hope you're listening.
They should have come
with you. Hope the radio works.
So, first, before we get going, how's Brad doing?
Brad's doing really good.
Okay.
He had to have this little thing done that was, you know, pretty crucial, pretty immediate, but very, easily worked out.
Good.
So he's going to be back in about 3 weeks.
Good. We'll keep
an eye on
prayers.
And ironically, the guy that's filling in for him is his tech. You know, we used to say roadie, now we say tech. His name is Bobby Schneck, and he's a great guitar player, and he has been religiously going over all those songs and learning them all and doing a really good job.
Yeah.
So we can't wait for Brad to come back.
All right.
We're up and running.
Keep him in our prayers. Of course, the show the other night, Rockin' the Hometown Crowd, must have felt real good. Your Guitar Hero-sponsored tour with ZZ Top. However, Dropkick Murphy's opened last Tuesday for you. Yeah.
It was awesome having them because obviously the crowd loved them and they're so high energy. Just had that Boston Synergy thing happening. And what we did is we did Dirty Water at the end. Like our first encore, we played Dirty Water and those guys came up on stage and what a fiasco. Oh, my God.
Somebody's microphone didn't work, right?
We didn't rehearse. Yeah. We should know better that when we're in Boston, you're not going to have 5 minutes to practice anything before you go on because there's just a bajillion people backstage. So it's like, follow the singer. It's like the game you play. You follow the singer. So, of course, the singer's mic didn't work. The guy from Dropkick, he had one of our spare wireless mics, and it didn't work. So the arrangement was all over the place. People changing chords where they shouldn't, and other people not doing it, and oh, my God.
Well, you know, I think
it's just like whipping your pants down in public and letting everybody see your bare, naked...
Well, I'm surprised that you actually admitted that, because I think that point in the night, people are so drunk they don't even know. You know, excited to hear the song. But
you have to time it so that, you know, it's not wearing off. That's the trick.
Yeah, that's it. But, maybe next time it'll work out better. Now, you also did Toys in the Attic in its entirety, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah?
Yeah, we did all but one song, and we've been thinking about doing that for a long time, so.
Now, how's it going to work on the tour? Are you going to focus on other albums in their entirety? I had heard that... you were going to do Rocks at one point.
Early on, we might have been thinking about that, but we decided to do Toys. So, you know, Rocks maybe could happen in the future, but right now we're doing the Toys album.
As well as some other classics.
Yeah, we start off and play three or four songs, you know, the real well-known, more recent ones. Then we do Toys in the Attic, and then we come back and do some more old and new rockers.
And now, when you were here last year, you actually, we were talking about Guitar Hero, who was, of course, sponsoring this tour with ZZ Top, and that launched about, I think it was last July, that whole, phenomenon launched. You guys were, I think, the first band to be on Guitar Hero.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this tour, local people are actually getting up on stage, local, they do contests locally and they get a chance to be on stage before ZZ Top. How's that working out?
Right.
Well, of course, it's only the beginning of the tour.
Yeah, it's just getting underway, but I love the idea. When I heard about the idea, I'm just like, absolutely. We got to do that. So, people that are really good at the game enter a contest, and then the winners get to go up on stage before ZZ Top on the gigantic screens with the gigantic sound system and play.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Pretty cool. I heard even Joe got up, right, at one point in the show the other night and played
Oh, yeah.
Played against himself?
Yeah, there's a little bit in the show that we're doing where Joe duels his, Guitar Hero avatar.
Sure.
And, but something we didn't expect is the reviews are like, oh, that's shameless product placement. Like, we're just, like, advertising the game or something, which didn't even occur to us. And even if we were, it's what we do, isn't it?
Right.
You know, what's the big deal?
So, everybody's a critic.
I have to suss that out.
You know, there you go. Hey, listen, let's get to some music because we're also here. This is like what's in your iPod today, too. Your picks. And we're going to talk more in the hour about the tour and the new album, too, which is put on the back burner right now. But let's talk. You brought some Chuck Berry classic stuff.
Yeah.
Tell me the story behind why we're going to do some Chuck.
Well, when we did our first gig last week in St. Louis, Chuck Berry came to the show.
Nice.
He was backstage, and somebody just came in my dressing room and said, Chuck Berry's backstage. And I just about had a heart attack. I mean, the guy is so part of the DNA that, makes up this band that I just went out and I shook the guy's hand. I don't know how old he is, but I was shocked at how good he looks. He really, looks like he could just, go right out there and tour. I don't know if he does anymore, but...
All that rock and roll, that great rock and roll living, right?
Well, he has to stay home and keep the video cameras working over at the amusement park. You heard that story, didn't you?
No, I didn't. You're not enlighten us. The video okay. But there we go.
Ladies' rooms, remember?
And you're jogging my memory here. Do we really want to go there?
No, we don't. I think we should go to
Chuck.
What he's known for, which is his unbelievable music.
All right, let's do it up here. This is Pixie 103 and Tom Hamilton of Aerosmith in our studio this hour, talking about the tour, talking about the new record coming up after this with Chuck Berry on Pixie 103. Okay, how come that's not working? Here we go. Okay, somehow that's not working, so we're going to have to go to another cut. See, this is the beauty of live radio. I don't know why this is not working here. Engineers! I don't know. Well, it seems to be going. What am I not doing right here? Hold on, folks! I don't know why that's not working. Okay, let's try the other CD player. In the meantime, let's cue up some Yardbirds, maybe?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, here we go. Hang out with us, folks, here. I'm going to go to my music library here and see if I can get some Yardbirds.
Where's my Yardbirds record?
The Yardbirds are right here.
Oh, okay. I'm a man.
All right, I'm a man.
I'm a man.
Let's see if this CD works. If
no wonder people don't like CDs anymore.
All right, Lori, can you cue that up for me, number 16, Okay, if you're just tuning in, we're having some radio chaos here.
Mm-hmm.
But we're going to resolve the situation in just a minute when I...
Gives us a chance to blab.
Yeah. So
anyway, Chuck Berry, I learned about Chuck Berry from my Rolling Stones records because when they first came out, they used to cover his songs. And actually, the Stones, when they first came out, most of their songs were covers. And so I got into Chuck Berry kind of through them. But
okay, let's see if this is going to work here. Okay,
yeah.
Here we go. Yardbirds on Pixie. Kid Cal's Rock Pixie 103 with Chuck Berry, a classic there, Carol. And you're listening to the picks from Tom Hamilton's iPod or his CD collection today on the show. And if you're just joining us, Tom Hamilton of Aerosmith's with us. Chuck Berry was at your first show for this tour. And it must have been really cool. Like you said, meeting a legend that's influenced you.
Yeah, it's really cool. And then you get up on stage.
Show.
Yeah. And it was great shaking his hand. But then on stage, I'm going, oh, my God, he's out there listening. We better, you just feel like for that one person, you better really kick ass or,
no kidding.
Or else. There goes your roots.
There it goes. Wow. Aerosmith taking a break from pre-production of the next album because, a few reasons. I know Stephen had a little butt with bronchial or slash sort of a little touch with pneumonia. So that's one of the reasons why that you guys decided to tour. I know you like to tour in the summer.
Well, no, the tour was already booked. We knew we were going out.
Oh, okay.
And, we had a few months of nothingness and we're like, just, all right, let's see what we can get done.
Sure.
We'll shoot for getting a whole record done because we already had a lot of stuff that we'd started.
Yeah.
And, we'll get as far as deep into it as we can. So we did. We got really deep into it, but the schedule was super tight because the tour was coming up. So as soon as there was a delay from Stephen not feeling well for a couple of weeks, it kind of put the thing back. So never fear. There's progress being made. And so we're going to go out and tour, and when we get done with this run, we'll go finish it.
Okay, so I didn't know if you were going to extend the tour, but you're going to go back in the studio.
Yeah,
in,
I mean,
in the fall, maybe.
One thing that you learn is to don't really make promises. I mean, sometimes the whole thing just dictates itself. Mm-hmm. You know, if we get halfway through this tour and, you know, people are just dying to hear us, you know, in other countries or whatever, then, you know, we'll probably do it.
Yeah, I don't blame
you. But, you know, I mean, just personally, I mean, I'm never not working on the album. I mean, at any given day, you're thinking about it, and you're you know, writing notes and recording ideas, and so that goes on.
And you guys are working with Brendan O'Brien.
Yeah.
He's worked with everybody from Dylan to Pearl Jam. Most recently, AC/DC's Black Ice, which is just out of the water, fantastic. So, wow. That must be pretty cool working with him.
Oh, I saw those guys play. Were you at that show at the Garden a few months ago?
No. Didn't go.
With the blow-up thing, that song Whole Lotta Rosie, and they had that big blow-up doll.
Yeah, I heard about it, yeah.
That was pretty disgusting, but I thought the rest was cool.
It's rock and roll.
Yeah.
It's rock and roll. Sex, drugs, and rock and roll, right?
Mm-hmm.
So cool. So, yeah, working with him must be pretty cool.
Yeah, really good. He's the most type A person I've ever met, and that's pretty amazing after, you know, knowing Steven for all these years. But that he like, books himself, like, bang, 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 bang. He's got, I mean, when he was working with us, he was also working with Pearl Jam, so he kind of just come from there, and then he had to go somewhere else in the end of May, so, you know, it was just a really tight situation, but he's really good. He really knows what he's doing, and he's really into the roots of the whole thing.
Now, how do you guys write songs? I mean, what's the process like? Do you pretty much start as a jam, or individually
sometimes,
some ideas?
Yeah, I mean, that's one way. You know, everybody comes in with ideas, and, you know, I've been working really hard on learning, you know, recording software and stuff, so when I come in with an idea, I can have it, like, really built out. And say, look, this is what I'm thinking. You know, because sometimes, none of us reads music. I mean, very few rockers do read music. So you're pretty much going, yeah, play bow, 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 on that section, and I'll play, and, you know.
And the song is boring.
Yeah. So it's neat to be able to sit there and you know, just try all these different things in my computer and put it together. And then when I go in, I don't say that. I play the song, and everybody can kind of hear it and go, oh, okay, we get it.
Yeah, cool.
So that's the process for now for me. But, you know, Joe's been writing a lot. He's been writing a ton. He's been really going. And
he's got a new, he's got a solo project in the works, too.
Yeah, it's in the works. I don't know whether it's, you know, going to be coming out or whether he's going to hold on to it or what. But he, you know, it's, you know, this pent-up energy is really there with all of us. So, you know.
Well, we're very excited about the new record and for you all to get back working on it, and hopefully the fall or whenever the time you know allows. You know, America's greatest rock and roll band.
Aw, shucks,
Aerosmith. Tom Hamilton's picks for music. We're going to go to some Warren Zevon. Excitable Boy.
I love this song. I love especially the line about the pot roast, rubbing the pot roast all over his chest. Heard that part? It's good.
Listen closely for that. We'll be back with more from Tom Hamilton of Aerosmith on Pixie 103. Cape Cod's Rock, Pixie 103 with Motorhead and Ace of Spades. Wake up, Cape Cod. We've got a rock show going on here.
That's right.
If you're just joining us, Tom Hamilton of Aerosmith's with us with his son, Jay. That was actually something from Jay's iPod, right, Jay?
That's probably the most gentle, relaxed song in his iPod.
I imagine that with the t-shirt he's got on today.
No, that's a power ballad to him.
Well, we've got some great tracks still ahead to play here. And of course, again, I appreciate you coming in the kind of the start of your tour. You're going to be in Virginia tomorrow. So you're going to jet on Father's Day. Happy Father's Day.
Thank you very much.
And well, now what do you think?
Send all the fathers out there.
Oh. See that? That's a personal note right there. You don't get that anywhere else in Pixie 103 with Tom
That's
Hamilton.
Right.
It
was a Hallmark moment.
You know what? We could have made a card there.
That's
we'll have to work on
we
that.
We probably did.
I know.
Oh, my God.
Is that Stephen calling?
That's not the right ring for that person. No, that wasn't. That was.
Tell them we're busy, okay? Actually, you should have brought the whole band with you, you know?
I should have, you know, if they could. They're not that far away. Let's go get them. I could go pick them up and be back in about 3 hours.
All right. We'll be here. Hey, I always wanted to know, actually, a bass player friend of mine, what is your favorite bass to play? You must have like a million of them.
I do, but I have these ones that are by this guy named Roger Sadowski. So that's what they're called, Sadowski's, and they're it's like a boutique brand, but really well known. They're like he's a Fender apostle, but like he took the whole Fender idea and just turbocharged it. And
nice.
You know, these basses are, the sound is so massive and crunchy that, you know, I keep trying other basses and I come back to them. And then I just got this one called a Duesenberg, which is actually there was a car company in the 30s named Duesenberg that, you know, was like the equivalent of you know, beyond Ferrari.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a new company that started up, and they sent me this bass to try out, and I'm like, okay, another bass to try out, fine. So but I brought it to rehearsal, and it just sounded so great. So I'm using that and my G&Ls, and that's a brand that a few people might recognize. Uh-huh. G&L, that was actually a company that was started by the guy that started Fender, Leo Fender. It was his third company. And every time he came up with a new company and new designs, they're all just awesome instruments.
Yeah, so now the local musicians know. They
mm-hmm.
wanted to know. That was one question I wanted to make sure I got in. And now, I think it was last year or a few months ago, because I always check your video blogs, and somebody had given you a, like, bejeweled bass. It was all mosaic.
Yeah,
maybe,
right.
It was pretty cool. Custom made.
What do you call that? Decoupage.
Decoupage, yeah.
My wife is an artist.
Oh,
she
thank you for the term.
Things. Yeah, what it is it's she took a bass and stuck all these pictures of me onto it. Can't believe it's never been thought of before. Like in amazing detail, and then like painted some kind of finish over it, so it gave it this really amazing
machine,
color. Then she put all these like little jewels in it and things hanging off it, and just amazing. And I got it, and there was a note that said, I'm a big fan, happy birthday or whatever it was. And she said, it's not playable, you know, but I plugged it in, and it was perfectly playable.
Really?
So, yeah.
Wow, cool.
Not that I'm going to use it, but.
Yeah, might end up in
that
the
playable.
Hard Rock Cafe someday, maybe, too, you know?
Yeah.
You never know.
Yeah, I don't know. It looks pretty good on my wall. I'm going to just leave it there.
I should, actually. A personal gift like that.
Right.
Hey, let's get back to some tunes. We've got a lot of rocking to do here, and what's in Tom Hamilton's iPod or his CD deck these days,
mm-hmm.
and what you're listening to. Tell us about this Rolling Stones classic. We're going way, way back to High Tide and Green Grass, Rolling Stones.
I hope we're not going too far back for everybody, but you know, when I think of inspiration, this is what I come up with.
Mm-hmm.
Not that there isn't a lot of new music that I don't like, but this song, it's called "It's All Over Now," and it was written by Bobby Womack, who was a big sort of blues R&B guy.
Yeah.
And I've just been infected with this song since I was about 12 years old. So I always come back to it. And people say, if you were on a deserted island, what would you what music would you bring? And if I could only bring one song, I'd probably pick that one.
It's All Over Now.
Yeah.
From the Rolling Stones, a classic. Chosen by Tom Hamilton today on Pixie 103. Let's check it out. WPXE, High Ennis, Cape Cod, Pixie 103. What a great track. Neil Young's After the Gold Rush, as chosen by my celebrity guest this hour, Tom Hamilton of Aerosmith. Wow, I forgot how good that track was, Tom.
Isn't that unbelievable?
Right.
I don't know what half the lyrics are about, but, you know, I don't care.
Exactly.
Vocals are just there so the girls will listen.
You know, so definitely, and then you got to get the chick and you're all set, right? But I think more and more people are rediscovering some of the classic rock that is just so many lost tracks that even so many radio stations don't play. I try to sneak them in as much as I can, but I'm kind of you know how corporate radio can be. But we don't want to go there. I don't want to lose my job. But then that's why we have, specialty hours like this one. And, of course, creating our own iPods, if you will. But that one, such a great track. And thanks for sharing it with us.
See, I'm kidding, of course, about the lyrics, and the vocal. And the whole atmosphere of that song just gets me when I hear it. You know, it just puts me in a certain place. It's kind of like a, melancholy, but joyous at the same time kind of thing. That's just music,
Yeah, exactly. Neil Young's they call him the granddaddy of grunge. And I don't know what he's been up to lately. He's been kind of on a...
But all I know about him is, I really admire this, is that he does whatever the hell he wants, and he's gotten it to a point in his life where he just, if it occurs to him, he writes it. And actually, that's the way he writes. He'll be driving along and get an idea for a song, and he'll stop and write the whole thing right there. Mm. Like, he'll do the whole lyric. He says, you know, he doesn't start a song unless he's going to finish it in the same session. You know, like, sometimes when I write, I like to build on it. I like to do something one day and then kind of think about it for a few days and try something else. But he's one of those writers that just goes and does the whole thing. He says he just can't stop once he starts.
Wow.
Yeah, which is great.
I remember that track that he did, This Notes for You, back probably 10 years ago or so, where he was singing, I'm not singing for Budweiser, I'm not singing for this and that, because of how, you know, I think all these corporations.
It is the music business, and let's face it, you know, if you're in a band and you decide you want to have a record out, you are now in the music business, and you have to deal with the fact that a lot of people that are in the business side of it are going to try to make it predictable. And, you know, that's what they do. They're supposed to do that as a way to figure out how to get people to listen to your music and hopefully go buy it. But it's funny because, you know, the unpredictability of the people who come up with the music and the predictability of the ones who want to propagate it, it's always kind of, you know, always butting heads, but something always works out.
Yeah, you have to come... You know? To that middle place where it's good for everybody.
Yeah.
It's got to be difficult. Yeah. Now, what else did you bring with you today? And by the way, while you're choosing it, and I did want to ask you, I read this online, one of your recent interviews, that if you could be an animal, you'd be a porcupine.
Oh, God.
What? I read that a recent interview you did. What's up with that?
It's funny how it's like a momentary, you know,
lapse of reason
can happen, and you know, I wouldn't pick a porcupine today because I'm in a better mood than I was in that day.
Good,
I was in a bad mood, you know.
I think,
like, don't get near me, or you're gonna get a friggin' quill in your butt.
Okay, I kind of had that feeling because every time I've met you and spoken with you, you're gentle.
Yeah,
kind of.
Yeah, well, I'm hiding the terror within me. You know, I know how to hide it. Just don't let it go, or you know, it's not gonna be pretty.
Okay. I'll try not to say the wrong thing. You brought a CD from a band from L.A. called Love.
All right, here's our esoteric song. It's the band is called Love, and they were very much a product of the whole hippie era. They were from L.A., and every single guy in this band is so good. They could be, you know, studio guys. And not a lot of people have heard of them, but they're really cool. And the name of the song is Seven and Seven Is.
And the band is Love.
Love.
And this is a classic from, I think, 1988?
Yeah, that Love crap was big back then. The kids loved it.
Okay. Let's see if they love it now. On Pixie 103 with Tom Hamilton of Aerosmith. Kid Cod's Rock Pixie 103, Pearl Jam's Brother, from the reissue of 10, and that is for Tom Hamilton and his wonderful wife here is with us today. And as a matter of fact, let's finish off the shoe. Let's finish the shoe story. If you're just joining us, we're talking about Cape Cod Coliseum, and Terry was trying to get in, and somebody unruly and drunk, they were throwing out, and on the way out, he puked on your shoes, but then...
Oh, it was a friend of Terry's.
And then 20 years later...
And should we talk about the phone call we just got?
Well, that was Sid that called, but that wasn't the same guy that puked on the shoes,
was
that
it? No, that was a guy who was...
I wanted to finish the story about the shoes. So 20 years later, Terry was telling us that 20 years later, in the gym, you met a guy. Said, hey, I've seen Aerosmith. You came to call Sam. I was thrown out. Then I threw up on somebody's shoes. And there you are. So what did you say? When did you say, like, hey, bud?
I said, hey, you threw up. That was my girlfriend's shoes you threw up on.
You know? And you owe me, like, $200 for these shoes.
Knowing her, they were really good shoes.
I don't know, yeah. What are the chances of that? Wow. It's amazing. I love stories like that. And then Sid just called. from the Cape here and shared a similar story with a bottle of whiskey. Was there a bottle of booze flying by?
Yeah, somebody threw a bottle at Stephen, and Stephen sort of knew roughly where it came from and pointed to that area and demanded that the crowd turn over the perpetrator, which I guess is what happened. And then he got a dressing down on stage and then chucked out. But, you know, I was thinking, you know, Stephen was probably pointing to the guy next to him.
But think about it. Bringing in a bottle of whiskey to a show, I mean, those were the days, right?
That was back then, man. I mean, we got hit with bottles, cans.
No, that's not cool.
Lighters. Jeez. And I finally realized after a few years that the lighters always came at the end of Dream On. So people were holding the lighters up during Dream On and then, you know, probably drunk, burned their hands. Fling them at the stage.
Now they're using their cell phones as lighters. Do they?
Yeah,
hopefully
yeah.
They're not throwing
and they don't throw
at
those. No, but you know, we used to get hit with a lot of quarters, and I got hit in the eye
money.
With a deflated football. And
wow.
Yeah, we appreciate the money, but you know, we'd rather have a check than a quarter in the eye.
You know, I'm glad you didn't have to put the chicken coop up, the chicken wire coop up like the Blues Brothers, you know. That reminds me of that movie.
Now we have a Star Wars laser system. Nothing gets through.
Speaking of lighting systems, tell me a little bit about the lighting system you have on the road with you. It's like these big octopus arms, right?
Oh, my God.
You guys are into light shows.
We are so psyched about the lights. Yeah, yeah. We love all that stuff.
Yeah.
There's a lot of bands that will go, oh, no. That's shallow, man. It's not about that. It's about the music, man. But when I was growing up was when the light show was invented. You know, lights weren't just to so you can see the band in the dark. It was a light show that was coordinated with the music, and that's what everybody's been doing since then. But, you know, we just remember it from then. So, you know, we talked to this lighting designer that does a really kinetic, huge type of idea. And we're like, get over here. That's what we want. So that's what we do.
So I know Lori went to the show, a couple of folks on staff here. Lori, how was that show? How was the light show? Yeah, she said it was pretty amazing.
I did love the lights.
Yeah, the lights. And that's what it's all about. It's a rock show, you know?
You don't have to look at us.
Lori, come over here. You want to tell everybody what your impression was?
It was absolutely awesome. And what you were saying about the Dropkick Murphys at the end.
Yeah.
He's like singing and no mic. And I'm like thinking, you know, he's got monitors in front of him. He should know that his mic is not on. But Stephen was graceful and gave him his own mic.
Figured out what was going on.
And, yeah. But, you know, the crowd loved it. I have to tell you, I know you thought, you know, it was a railroad wreck, but the crowd loved it no matter what.
Yeah. You know, it was, hey, it's a moment. You know, you got to go
with the moment.
Yeah.
That's it.
Right. So it's fine. Not that I want to do it again, but it was fine.
Grace under pressure, they say, right?
Just a little rehearsal.
Never let them see you sweat. Mm. Well, listen, we got to pay a few more bills, and then we're going to come back. We're going to do some favorite Aerosmith songs before we head out, because I know you probably have a lot of fun things going on this weekend.
It is the
maybe
Cape,
a little,
after all.
And this is, you know, a little decompression day for you before you're back on the road tomorrow, right?
That's right.
All right, we'll be right back with more of Tom Hamilton of Aerosmith. With favorite songs, next.
More rock.
More rock.
Now.
Cape Cod's rock.
Pixie 103.
Cape Cod's Rock Pixie 103 with Sunshine.
Yeah,
Aerosmith. That was good. That ending there. Wow. From Just Push Play, there's a track for your daughter Sage, her favorite.
Chosen by her loving brother Jay.
Oh.
Wow.
Is it good? Is it good in the house? Or is it like the Osbournes? They always fighting with each other?
It's different. Areas of calm with an explosion, then back to calm.
It's typical. That's good. That's normal. Right. I wouldn't think it would be anyway else. Now that song got some minor airplay. Sunshine.
Yeah.
I remember that back a few years ago.
You know,
great tour.
I think I love that song, and I just think it's the most awesome song. I think we made the wrong video for it, and it didn't really help
that.
You know, the video was just kind of this vague. You know, like sort of trippy thing instead of it being about like an amazing girl, like it should have been with a character.
Mm-hmm. So, like back when you did those with that girl, what's her name?
Alicia Silverstone.
Alicia, those were cool. Those were great. That whole series.
Yeah, those videos we did with a director named Marty Kallner. And we used to have these like marathon brainstorming sessions that would go all night long and just come up with wacky ideas and actually use a lot of them.
Good stuff, definitely. Yeah, and it kept you, I like the way you had the thread linking through them. People wanted to know. I mean, she was so hot back then that everybody wanted to check it out, definitely.
Yeah, you got to make things clear for people sometimes. It can't always be like, well, we'll just make it as weird as possible and they'll figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
Because 10 people will figure it out and the rest will just go on to something else.
Mm. And we were talking a little bit about Facebook, soon to be launched at an Aerosmith page, maybe?
We're going to have an Aerosmith toolbar.
Like toolbar.
Yeah, it's going to have, it's going to have a game embedded in it, like a lot of cool things that are happening now. Yeah, so I'm not exactly sure the timing of that. For all I know, it could be already happening.
Right. But, excellent.
Yeah.
And people would find out through maybe, your website for,
I guess, yeah. I mean, there, at any given point in any day, there's something like 700,000 to a million people that are looking for Aerosmith information.
Nice.
They might not be fan club fanatics, but they're curious and they'll go checking it out, and then they'll they'll send a link to their friends.
Good.
So
I'll be one of
really,
those.
Like, pay attention to all those people.
And I will be one of those, so I'll get the word out to the Pixie fans. Oh, by the way, we wanted to say hi to Jay Blake from Martin's Mills from Follow a Dream. He's a huge fan, and check this out, a blind race car driver. I don't know how he does it, but he's an amazing man. Does a lot of great work for his charity, Follow a Dream, and he's a huge fan. So we wanted to say hi to him. Isn't that cool?
Yeah, it's really cool. And, it's really inspiring to hear about somebody that, obviously doesn't believe in the impossible.
No.
Fantastic
thing. How does
he
do it?
And he rebuilds engines. Yeah, I mean, obviously he has people helping him, but, the guy is just, it's so embedded in his being that he can't stop doing it.
He's an inspiration.
That reminds
me
of a Lenny Clark story. Who Lenny Clark is?
Yeah,
a comedian. He's from,
he
lives on the Vineyard, I think. But, he's one of the funniest local comics you'll ever hear. And he told a story once about this friend of his who gave somebody a case of beer to rebuild his engine. And the the guy had parts left over, so he just threw them away.
Wow. Needless to say, the car probably never rode right after that.
I don't know. Maybe it did. Maybe it was an improvement.
Well, listen, I know we got to wrap it up here, but before we go, we've got another Aerosmith classic. And I do want to wish you, by the way, good luck on the tour. It's just started, and you've got gigs now booked through September 16th.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe after that, maybe not, maybe back in the studio, but...
I don't know. We're starting to hear a little, little phone ringing in the distance.
Come over to Europe.
Well, that may be next summer.
And I would think that being on the road, too, it's only going to help mold the new record when you do get back in the studio.
Yeah, which is cool, because, like, with our first record, when a band does their first record, you've generally been playing your originals for at least a year. You've been out playing them for people. And then, once you go into your second album, then a lot of times, that's not true. You put the record out, then you go on tour. So, it would be a really neat thing for us to sort of gradually work in new ideas. And there are a couple of songs that there's a faction in the band of which I'm a member that's pushing hard to get these things in the set. So, if the public could keep up the pressure, it would be very helpful.
Yeah, well, we love you, definitely. Cape Cod loves you. New England loves you. I mean, again, you're part of our DNA as much as, more than any other band, I would think. And it's great to, and one thing I got to say, too, in all of your rock ness, if you will, you've never lost your you're so down to earth, and that's cool. You don't have like a can't talk to me, I'm a Hamilton attitude. At least not today, anyway.
I'm not organized enough to maintain that kind of a persona. Oh yes, I've already pre-ranked you as not being worthy of being in my presence. What the hell? I like, I'm a jeans and t-shirt guy, really.
And we love that. And you're welcome back anytime.
Thank
and best
you.
Of luck on the tour. And And have a great, great time. Please keep us posted there.
Okay.
Now, we want to play another. Actually, as we know, you're doing Toys in the Attic on this tour.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to do a track now. This is, why don't you set it up for
this
us?
This is called Round and Round, and it's a song that Brad co-wrote with Steven for the, as you said, the Toys in the Attic album. And it's great. We get to get up there on stage and, show some of our metal chops that are still there.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is just such a classic.
So for Brad and... Brad's feeling great. I can't wait to see him. And
good. Yeah, we wish him well. He's in our thoughts
work.
And prayers. All right, Tom Hamilton of Aerosmith. Again, thanks so much, and good luck on the tour. And we'll see you soon, okay?
Thank you.
You're welcome anytime. This is Pixie 103 and Aerosmith's Round and Round.